Welcome to Hype, episode 42. It's a special number in fandom. It's like the meaning of life and a lost reference and all kinds of crazy stuff. So it's going to be a good show. I've got a good feeling about this. My name is Selena, and I have Pam here with me. I have Marima, Kyle, and Andrew is back. Welcome, guys.
Hi, I'm back. Hey. I'm excited to be back.
You are. How was Norlands?
Oh, it was great. But this is a family-friendly show, so
I was just going to ask, did you do any fandom stuff at all?
from a celebrity angle, on the plane, Jamie Lee Curtis was on the flight, as was Evan Peters. And using my advanced Googling skills, I figured out that they were going down to New Orleans to film Scream Queens, the new Fox show.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then when I was at baggage claim, since I was all hyped up on spotting a couple of celebrities, I continued looking around, and Billy Burke, I was like, is that Billy Burke? For the guy who played the dad in Twilight?
That's what I was going to say. Like, is that Charlie?
Yeah, is it Charlie? So I Googled Billy Burke, New Orleans, and as it turns out, he is filming a show down there. So he was on my flight, too.
Wow.
So it was a star-studded
flight. That's kind of crazy. Yeah. Yeah, you, like, attract them at this point, I think.
They were probably like, oh my god, is that Andrew Sims from MuggleCast?
Yeah, then they Googled
should have been wearing
Billy
your t-shirt.
What's he going to New Orleans for? Yeah.
Billy Burke was like, that's that loser who did that Twilight podcast. Yeah.
He should have just been like, Imprint! And just like run away.
So, yeah, so there's the pop culture spin on the New Orleans.
That's cool. You know, the first time I ever went to America, I walked into, I think you guys know this because I talk about it all the time, I walked into a Mac store and David Schwimmer from Friends was there. And I was just like, this is America! Celebrities everywhere!
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyone else do any interesting fandom sightings or anything fun?
I went to Vegas and I saw Zedd perform, so that was cool.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah. We were all talking about how hot he is, but then we couldn't get any of it because he's with Selena Gomez.
Oh,
that's the only reason.
She ruins everything.
Yeah. Fun fact, names. I interviewed Zedd for Hypeable when him and Miriam Bryant did the single for Divergent.
Yeah.
So I totally commiserate with Zedd being super attractive. I think he's super cute,
too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he's really sweet.
Before we get started, we're going to start with news this week, and then we'll move into some TV stuff and our How We Hype section. But before we get started, just reminding you guys that this is, of course, the podcast for Hypeable.com, which is Hypable.com, which is your one-stop news source for entertainment. And you can follow us on Twitter at Hypeable. So, the first news story, Marima, I think you won again. God, you're on a roll. You've got the biggest story this week.
Well, is
in
it
movies.
The biggest or is it
in
just
movies.
The best in the Let's go with that as the biggest. So we finally had confirmation this week that the Russo brothers are going to be directing Infinity War Part 1 and 2 for Marvel. These rumors started in, like, months and months ago. Last year, I think they started circling around. So we basically knew it, but it's nice to have confirmation. So, they'll be getting started on that after they finish up with Civil War, I guess.
Yeah,
which
is also kind of an
filming
Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's going to start filming in April. And then the Infinity War will be filming in 2016. So they have their plate full, but it's exciting times.
I'm surprised they would want to be that busy because it seems like Civil War is going to be such a huge project on its own. Involving
well,
Iron
they'll
Man.
Be done.
Yeah, I know, but I know, but it still just seems like such a lot. And then to commit to a two-part Avengers.
Well, they also have they've signed the first look Spider-Man deal with Sony as well. So it kind of looks like they're taking over from Joss Whedon just in general in terms of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. Like playing what he did, which was kind of shaping all the films. It seems like that's the direction that they are going.
Well, there's two of them, so they can just, you know.
Yes, with the work.
Yeah.
Is anyone upset that Joss is not directing?
I am a little bit, but I kind of just want him to do other stuff now, you know?
Yeah, which I think is his feeling as well.
Yeah. I'm so excited that he's not directing. I would prefer to have them, so this is great news.
Oh, wait until you see Ultron. Maybe you'll... they're all... Joss and the Russo brothers are all really fantastic, so you can't go wrong either way.
Yeah. It's
You're
a
such
hands.
A fence sitter. What is that?
What?
Oh, they could both be good. Yay.
I'm a average Marvel fan, so if you asked me to say which one is better than the other, I would say they're equally great.
Mm-hmm. Just okay. Like I did. Well, anyway. Yes, very good.
So, Andrew, do you think they're going to have as much fun picking a new director for 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, well, I hope Joss's next project is actually 50 Shades of Grey. I think yeah. that's what he's clearing his schedule for. So we found mm-hmm. out that Sam Taylor Johnson, who directed the first 50 Shades of Grey, is not going to come back for the remaining two movies. For some reason, she issued a statement about it, which is a little strange, I think, because they don't know... We're not even... They haven't even signed a deal with E.L. James yet about the next 50 Shades of Grey movie. So that's it's barely into production, but she's already issuing this statement. And apparently she doesn't want to come back because, as she said, and as author E.L. James said on the promotional tour, they were fighting all yeah. the time. So they just were not meant to work together, it seems like. And yeah, now the search is on for a new director.
Do you think E.L. James could possibly make a play to direct it herself? Because that's kind of like the hot rumor floating around, but I think it's bull.
Well, the rumor is that she wants to write it.
Right.
I think she that is already egotistical enough. If she also wants to direct it, that's like...
And star in it as both parts.
She definitely wants to star in it. She seems crazy enough.
The one-woman show now.
Writing I get, so she makes sure that there's certain elements of the story mm-hmm. that make it into the movie, but directing I hope.
They wouldn't let her do it.
No, I mean, what was she like so worried about that wasn't in this movie? Like, oh no, the rape scene was not clear enough, or like what?
I guess
it's art, Marima. Yeah.
That's so funny yeah. because I read the first book and then I went to see the movie and I was like, good job, Sam Taylor Johnson and writer. You actually made Anastasia somebody that I didn't hate. Like, she's yeah. just so one-dimensional in the book that, like, at least I felt a little more for her while I was watching her yeah. in the movie, you know?
That's like, what
she
I
was
mean.
Much
I feel like,
more, yeah.
Mm-hmm, I feel like E.O. James wanted all of the things that people were glad were not in the film. She's like, no, put them back yeah. in the sequel.
So next up, we have Matt Smith. This is, oh my gosh, I'm not even setting this up properly. I was just going to read it off. Last week on Hype, we predicted that this week we would have some casting news for Fantastic Beasts. We kind of do. Not really. This is very much a rumor, but I definitely think it's worth bringing up. It is the notoriously... accurate newspaper in Britain, The Sun, has reported a rumor that Matt Smith from Doctor Who is up for the lead in J.K. Rowling's Fantastic Beasts. And I read this, and like three things went through my mind. First, it was like the screaming of like, what? This is amazing! And then second was, this is clearly not true because it's The Sun. And the third was, hold on a second, this could actually be true because... I mean, he's not, he, you know, one, just because he's part of one big fandom doesn't mean he can't be in this, you know?
Yeah.
And then I started. Your fourth thought was, oh my God, gotta post it on
Yeah. That was already at one. I was already there, like typing in all caps. But I think this is an interesting thing because I know you guys, I mean, everyone has their, like, I would want this person, this is my ultimate fan casting person, but. When it comes down to them actually picking one person, it's probably not going to be the one you imagine. So, and I think this just came out of nowhere, but it made so much sense to me. I think he would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think he would be a dream choice. Yeah. I mean, Fantastic Beasts, we've spoken about already. They're setting it up so it's too big to fail. You got yeah. the Harry Potter director back, you got the producer back, screenwriter, author, blah, blah, blah. So another way to ensure this is going to be a hit is by picking an actor who is a huge phenomenon already, and somebody like Matt Smith it fills that role perfectly. So if they cast Matt Smith, that's
they're
like...
set,
an,
yeah.
Yeah, that's like an instant $50 million box office minimum. Like he adds $50 million to it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
On top of what else it would have made anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
it's
they should
a clever choice.
That.
It is. If it works out, I think it's a clever choice.
But I still want Ben Whishaw.
But that's again, you know, if you can't have the one you imagine, you know. Yeah.
I could. I might.
You could.
Don't crush my dreams, Selena.
You know what? I'm on Team Marima right now because I think we're both in agreement that Ben Whishaw would be perfection.
Well, but just make your own movie then. What the hell?
You know what? Maybe we will, okay? I was just going to say that, like, bottom line, regardless of who you have dreamed of for this role, we also have to remember we don't know very much about Newt Scamander. So we're pretty much just, like, making a character in our brains and being like, oh, this character has these qualities and these qualities and these qualities. So naturally, this actor would be perfect for that. But they might not have any of those qualities when filming starts.
That's why I really want it to be someone we don't know. Like, that's my preference. In that I hope it's someone that kind of has already established maybe a smaller name for himself, but ultimately isn't really known like as a household name. Because I think that would be great, because in that way you don't kind of have anything identified with Newt Scamander. Like, if Matt Smith gets cast as Newt Scamander, like, when people look at that, they're automatically going to link, like, Harry Potter and Doctor Who and, like, all this fandom stuff. So it would be really interesting to see someone on a poster that we don't know and going, okay, that looks like Newt Scamander. You know what I mean?
I totally get that. And I think a lot of fans feel that way, that they like to see someone who could become Newt as opposed to just put a lot of traits we already recognize. And
exactly.
But I think we don't have to talk a lot about this, but I'm sort of on the opposite side. I think since we don't know the story and we don't know the world, I would like, just for my own ease of watching it, I would like someone that I know. So I kind of, then he can surprise us with, you know, because he's an amazing actor. I mean, he's done a lot of really diverse stuff. And then, but then I know his face and I know what he's capable of, and, you know, all these things. So I don't know. I think maybe I'm just lazy, but I think he would. And also, you know, it's like, because we don't know who Newt is, having someone like Matt Smith tells me, oh, that's kind of what Newt is. I can live with that. I like him. You know, I'm there. I'm set. But who knows? We'll keep you guys updated as we find out more. Our next news, this is kind of a funny one. Kyle, do you want to set it up?
It was great. So Ryan Reynolds tweeted a picture earlier this week revealing the first look at the Deadpool character for the film that he's making. And the shot that he decided to share was an image of Deadpool lying on a bearskin rug in front of a fireplace, kind of like the Burt Reynolds famous photo. And it's great because I feel like it encompasses the movie and the character so well, in that, like, it's gonna be hysterical. I love that it's not like an action shot, it's not like something like a still from the movie or anything, or just to look at the costume. It's him laying seductively on a bearskin rug, which is the best.
I don't know anything about Deadpool, but you just from this image, for people who don't know anything, you instantly know that this is going to be a tongue-in-cheek type of movie, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know anything about Deadpool either. And so when I saw this, I was like, okay, all right, I'm definitely down for this.
Okay, well, I do know some things about Deadpool, but I totally agree. Everything that they have shown from this film so far, including that, like, very brief footage that we saw, and the look at this and just everything that's coming out of it shows that this film is going to be, looks like it's so spot on with the character, and it's really different to all of the superhero films that we have seen previously, and it doesn't look like they're trying to tone it down or anything, which is really, really encouraging, because Deadpool as a character is so different from, like, every other character in the comic books and is a really big fan favorite. So a lot of people have a lot riding on this film, I think.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's a great way for him to return to the genre.
And this picture, like, seriously, if you Google Deadpool and look like it, it looks like he has stepped out of the comics. Like, it's so perfect.
It'd be so interesting to see Ryan Reynolds, like, do this film and then just be such a huge success compared to when he did Green Lantern. Like, it'd be a total 180.
I think that could happen, actually. It's like Merima said, like you guys are saying. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just amazing how different of a successful career he has on this character.
Yeah, it's true. So the next one, this story is kind of fun, because actually that also pertains to something we talked about last week randomly.
Yeah, so last week we were talking about Ready Player One, which is, of course, a brilliant sci-fi novel that takes place in a futuristic version of America by Ernest Cline. And lo and behold, just a few days after we released the episode, WB announces that Steven Spielberg is going to direct the film adaptation of this book. And I, for one, am very excited. Like I said last time, I'm reading the book right now. I'm actually almost done with it. I think Marima talked about how she had read it as well. And it's just like, it's actually a very fitting choice because Steven Spielberg was such a big influencer, especially in the 80s. And this book deals a lot with 80s trivia and 80s pop culture and stuff like that. So it's just a really good choice, I think, for them. And I'm really excited to see what he does with the whole reality of this book.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. You have to report back when you finish the book, Pam.
I'm almost done. I was doing some reading before. I always do reading before the show, and so now you guys are cutting into my Ready Player One time.
Oh, no.
just kidding. But yes, I will. We will chat after I'm done.
Yeah, I'm definitely putting this on my list to read now. I think Steven Spielberg, I mean, This is not just going to be, you know, one of those, because everything's getting adapted these days. When I first saw the story, I was just like, oh no, another book that's getting a movie, but it's going to be fun. But it's interesting because they just released the trailer for that movie Pixels, which is going to be just like a stupid like comedy action film. But that also has all those 80s pop culture figures in it. So just in terms of rights, you know, I wonder.
That's my biggest concern with this adaption, to be honest with you. Like, even as I was reading it and I was talking to the person who lent me the book in the first place, like, we were talking about the reality of it ever being made into a movie, and the whole argument was, like, can they get all the copyright issues sorted out? Because it does deal with, like, everything from video games to popular movies. No, without giving anything away, there's, like, whole scenes in the book that are, like, pretty much the player involved, like very adamantly and internally involved in things that are definitely copyrighted. So,
But now they have Steven Spielberg. I think it'll be easier for them too.
Yeah, definitely.
Surely he can just like buy the copyright.
Yeah,
or whatever. He has enough
the world.
Money.
Yeah. So the first James Bond trailer came out the other day.
Yeah, this is for so good. This is for Spectre, which is the 24th Bond film. And I don't know if you guys are Bond fans. Like, I'm actually not a huge fan of James Bond, but I loved Skyfall so much. And that was only like 80% due to Adele's perfect song that can never be trumped. But I feel like Skyfall left the Bond series in a really interesting place that I don't want to spoil it, even though it came out like 3 years ago. Isn't that dumb? You know, by the end of that, I think the various characters are in, some interesting places. And so we had the first teaser trailer, and it sort of shows, like, Bond has this secret, and there's kind of this, like, secret organization that he seems to be going into. And, it looks really cool. So
Skyfall is so good.
It was so good.
And I fell in love with Daniel Craig after Casino Royale. Was that his first one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Quantum of Solace, we like to pretend, doesn't exist. And
yeah,
it wasn't so good.
Right. Yeah. Am I the only one who hasn't seen a single James Bond?
What?
Yes.
None
what?
At all.
Oh, okay.
I've seen, all of them.
Like none.
Not even
no.
joking. Oh my god!
Like, it's not on purpose, I swear. It's just like how Andrew hasn't seen Star Wars, you know? Like, it just hasn't happened. You know?
Oh wow, way to throw me into this.
He just had to make himself feel better, you know?
The only difference is there's 24 Bond movies, and there's been like four in the past four or 5 years.
Yeah, Kyle, that's like one Bond movie for every year of your life.
That's a lot. That's a big commitment, though, to be fair.
It is.
Yeah, there are some you can skip. They're not all masterpieces.
Yeah,
you,
the first one I saw was Quantum of Solace, and I was like, what is this?
I'm so sorry.
You could totally watch, like, one of each Bond, like, you know what I mean? I was going to say, if you don't mind possibly getting spoiled, because this is not the first time that Spectre has been introduced in the Bond franchise, you could always watch Dr. No, which, of course, was Sean Connery's.
Pam's like a Bond connoisseur.
Yeah, I
love James Bond. Like, I'm like not into Mission Impossible, but I'm like, James Bond, I'm there.
That's cool. And Ben Whishaw is in this, so there you go.
That was my driving force for going to see Skyfall. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that must be why. It might be why
Skyfall was my favorite. It's like 80% Adele and then like 19% Wisher and then like 1% Judi Dench, and Daniel Craig does not even get a look in.
Before we go on to the next story, I just want to mention Ready Player One. I was just looking on Amazon. The Kindle version is only $2.99.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to read it,
nice.
I just added it to my wish list. I'll probably buy it. It's super cheap on Amazon right now.
Kindle All version. Right, I'm going to plug this one more time. Everybody go get this book. If you are a fan of pop culture, you will love this book. I'm not even joking.
If you're a fan of pop culture.
I'm not really sure about that thing. Pop culture.
If you're listening to this podcast, like, you will like this
book. I'm not even joking.
If you're a fan of Oxygen.
Yeah. If you live on the Earth.
Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Pretty much if you're a fan of Hypeable, like, you would like this book. Something that you like will be in this book, and you will get really excited about it.
But now, like, you're hyping it up so much, I feel like I'm not going to like it.
I know.
I'm just not human enough.
Pop culture.
I'm okay with pop, but not so much, you know.
Not so much the culture.
Yeah, not the culture.
So, our next story is a big part of pop culture, mm-hmm. Harry Potter. If you like reading, you'll like Harry Potter. We got not just our first look inside the book, but also, I guess I should have said that the other way around. We not only got our first look at the cover of the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone illustrated edition, but also the inside. First of all, the cover came out first, and the same cover will be used worldwide, which is the first time this is happening. Usually the cover is different depending on what area in the world you are in. The cover is actually really interesting because it features the Hogwarts Express front and center. But it's not the Hogwarts Express you've seen in the books or the films before, or at the Wizarding World or anywhere else. This is a reimagining of the train. It kind of looks like a dragon. It was absolutely inspired by a dragon. The smokestack on top has a dragon's head. It's got dragon scales along the top of the body of the train. It's got dragon wings at the front. It's really interesting that Jim Kay, who's illustrating each of these illustrated books, decided to completely revamp everybody's vision of the train, because the train is one of the most iconic aspects when you think of the movies and the theme park. You know, the mm-hmm. train is right in the front. And then, of course, in the bottom corner, we see Harry and his owl Hedwig at platform 9 3/4, I guess, or maybe at Hogwarts. I don't know. But what did you guys think of the cover? Did you like it?
Cover's beautiful.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the train, I have to say. I don't want to be like that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. I like
it because he changed it so much?
No, yeah, I mean, I don't mind that he changed it. It's just, you know, and I think my vision of Harry Potter is that it's very much, you know, they go from this very real British world into this magical place and having the train. It's like, if that had been in the movie,
exists in King's Cross.
Yeah, I would have been like, that's so gimmicky, because it's an because I learned how to speak today. I'm fine with it. I'm not gonna, you know, but I preferred the more normal looking, exactly, one that could conceivably go in and out of King's Cross without anyone caring.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree completely.
I did think it was cute, though, that they, like, he tried to tie in Hogwarts to the train, because they've got a little winged boar on the front, right? And those are
in
the front of the entryway. I thought that was really a cute little nod to the school in general.
And it's so, I mean, the illustrations in general are so beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
One of the reasons I like the redesign of the train so much is that it surprises you. If we're going to be looking through these books with all these reimaginings of what we already have pictured for so long, I'm actually excited about that, because it'll surprise you and it'll make you rediscover the series. If it was the same old train, old Hagrid, and I think part of the reason this was surprising was that some of the illustrations we've seen so far do look like they were inspired by the movies. So for them to change this dramatically is really awesome.
So are you guys going to get this one?
Oh, yeah.
I will definitely. Yeah, I will definitely be purchasing it.
Probably the first special edition that I'll get, and only.
Yeah, I'm like one of those people who just thinks it's so dumb when people buy multiple books with just different covers, because it's just like a waste of money and it's a waste of space on your bookshelf.
Yeah.
But I am definitely buying these. They're so beautiful.
This is very different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's different enough. The illustrations are stunning. And like you said, Andrew, I kind of agree with Selena about the train, but I think it's really encouraging that the illustrator is obviously not afraid to make big changes.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be like really interesting to see going forward, because it's kind of sort of related to what the movies looked like, but obviously it's not going to be, you know, a direct parallel.
Right.
I just really like the fact that these books are a great way to introduce Harry Potter to your kids, even at an earlier age, because you can read out to them and they can be looking at the story with you. So, like, that's another reason why it's a good purchase. Like, just to have these for, like, when and if anyone ever has kids, or you have a friend who has kids, like, you'll be able to read them the story at, like, 3 or 4, and instead of, like, them kind of just listening, you get to show them the world of Harry Potter and what's happening, and I think that's
the minute, like, if I ever get pregnant, I'm going to start reading Harry Potter out loud to my stomach, just, like, from as soon as possible. They're going to be fans, damn it. And they're going to grow up and they're going to be like, I hate this stupid Potter. And I'm going to... Anyway. So speaking of canon and changes, this one's a pretty big news story, our first TV story of the week. The inevitable has happened, and the Game of Thrones creators have revealed that, yes, their TV series will spoil the books. This is not surprising, because, I mean, we should have seen this coming the minute the first season premiered, because we knew that George R. R. Martin would never finish the book by the time the final book by the time the show finished. But it's still interesting to have confirmation on this. Basically, Benioff and Weiss said that we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. The show must go on, and that's what we're going to do. So even though they'll take some deviations along the way, and we've already seen that in the latest season, that some things are playing out way differently than they do in the book, we're heading towards the same destination, Benioff says. So this is interesting. I guess, Marima, you've read the books, right?
I'm, like, halfway through the fourth one.
Okay.
I keep going back and forth between wanting to read the book before I watch the show and wanting to watch the show before I read the book, which is, like, a very strange place to be in. So I will definitely have finished them, like, by the end of, maybe the end of this series, definitely before the next season.
But it's such a weird, it's such a weird situation when you think about it. Like, think about if this had happened to something like Harry Potter, where they were like, yeah, we've got the last movie planned, you know, next summer, and her book is out in a year, so you're going to find out what happens. Like, that would, no, people would be outraged.
Oh, right. Yeah. I feel like maybe the difference with Game of Thrones, and again, like, I'm a more recent fan, so I'm not so tied to the books. I watched the show before I started reading the books, so, you know, it's a different experience to me. But they have already diverged so much, just in, like, the characters that have been cut and the storylines that have been cut and all of that. So, you know, it's like with Harry Potter, it was a more direct translation to the screen. So if you saw what happened in the film, you would be like, well, why am I even reading the book, you know? Yeah. Whereas with this, it's not like you're still going to be able to get more from the book.
Right, it's not about the answers or the end, really. It's about the journey,
yeah,
I guess.
Right, in the book, it's about the journey. But, yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm the only one. I'm sort of comforted by the fact that they are going to finish it, because I'm genuinely concerned that the books will never be finished, like, at all.
Yeah.
I'm completely serious.
I mean, I guess
we talked about it. We talked about it a little bit on Book Hype this week as well, and I just feel like he needs to have that last chapter written and, like, in a safe somewhere, or, like, in his will or something, so that we know what happens at the end. So we'll know, because it'll be on the show already.
Yeah. I think it's just disappointing, I think, especially to people who were planning on reading the books at some point, but maybe after watching the series, just or after watching, like, the season, because that, like, I wanted to, like, do a summer read after the season ended and just kind of, like, catch up with all the books and stuff.
Jesus Christ, this is going to take longer.
Yeah,
I know, really long.
I know, it's going to take a long time. But I was planning on it, and now it just, it sucks because I don't like spoilers. Like, I'm a huge, like, I avoid spoilers for things that have been out for years, like, just because I have the intent to watch. Not right. even the fact that, like, I plan to watch it next week, but, like, Supernatural, I want to watch that eventually, so I don't want to get spoiled on anything, despite it being so old. So with Game of Thrones, it's tough because you're automatically, like, for me, I enjoy things more in book form than when I see them on screen for, like, 99% of the things I read. And so even having read, like, half of the first book of Game of Thrones, it's so dull after you watch the season because it's so similar. And yeah. so, like, I'm really concerned that when and if the book does come out after I've watched the entire series, it's not going to be nearly as enjoyable as if I'd read it for the first time and not know, you know?
But, so. Like, no one, like, no offense, Kyle, but no one cares about the people who haven't read the book already. Like, if you haven't read the book already, that's your problem. You know, if you, I understand what you're saying, but I feel bad for the people who started reading this series in the mid-90s. You know, and it's now 2015,
yeah.
and they've been dedicated to this series for, like, over a decade, and they're going to be spoiled on the ending, you know, because the difference is, like, you can't avoid the spoilers on the TV show, as you're saying. Like, you're going to find out. It's going to be on the internet somewhere. In the book, it's different. So I really feel bad for those people. Like, I don't really feel bad for people like you who just maybe want to read the series at some point but haven't gotten around to it. Like,
no,
that's your prerogative.
I don't know. I think there's something to be said for fans of the series who... I mean, obviously, people who just watch the show, they don't care. But people who are sort of getting into the books because of the show... I think that does provide an interesting. Obviously, the people who've read the series since it began are the ones who are really going to suffer from this. But I do think it does provide an interesting dilemma because if you're sort of, say, you're on book three, and you find out this news, are you going to keep reading? Because one of the reasons you keep reading is to find out what happens because you like the show and you want to see what happens next. But suddenly you're in this situation where you have to decide how do you want your ending. And if you want to read about it, you have to wait. I don't know. I think it's a really unique dilemma. And I think it's a shame. For me, who started reading after I watched the show, it's a problem because I, as Kyle said, I would always want to find out things in the books before the show. But the show was so good that I'm kind of being like, well, should I read, like... The Winds of Winter and Dream of Spring, like, should I? Because they're so long. I could read, like, 5 other books in that time. You know what I mean? We've actually got a really good article on Hypeable sort of taking you through the stages of of grief about this news and reaching some kind of acceptance. It's definitely worth reading.
Yeah, that's a great article from Michal.
Yes. So more TV news now. This is an interesting story as well.
It's sad news, but I'm also really happy about it. Downton Abbey Series 6 is going to be the show's last, but a movie is a possibility because Julian Fellowes, who is the creator of the show, says they would be very interested in the idea of having a movie after Season 6, so it's something they're thinking about. So they haven't ruled it out. It's not official, but it's definitely something that the creator would want to chase, possibly. And I find that really nice because Downton Abbey as a series is amazing. I love the show. The past couple seasons have gone more downhill just because the actors want to move on. And so you find these actors going, hey, I want to leave the show just because I want to do other things. And, like, a lot of them, like 2 or 3 of them, they've killed off because they've wanted to leave. And so now with the Series 6 being the last one, we know there shouldn't be a reason to kill anyone off. Like, one of the people that people were concerned about was what's her name? The Dowager?
Maggie Smith.
Exactly. So, like, people were kind of upset that she would die, like, maybe, like, if she wants to leave, they'd kill her off. But now that Season 6 is officially the end, a lot of people are saying there isn't hopefully a good, like, hopefully she won't die, you know? And so it just, it's a good way to end the arc. It's, and I love it when shows end because they want to end, you know, not because they get canceled in the middle of the season, in the middle of their arc.
Part of the problem is that if they're going to do a movie, it means that they're not really going to wrap everything up by the end of series six. And I would like rather see everything wrapped up at the end of series six. Like everybody kind of rides off into the sunset and that's it. If they're already planning a movie, then they have to leave some things open. And then I think this series is going to be less satisfactory. And I mean, does Maggie Smith come back for the movie? I guess.
Well, it could be one of those things, though. There are like a couple of series that have ended on this really good note where it kind of ties everything up. However, it ties things up in a way where you're satisfied with how the story ends. But if it does continue or if they choose to make a movie, then like it's not necessarily open-ended, you know? Does that make any sense? So like,
yeah, it does. But also, by the way, I mean, they could still kill characters since it is the last season. Like, they've kind of got nothing to lose now. So
yeah, it's true.
I'm glad they're ending it too at this point. I definitely think they shouldn't draw it out any further. And I'm in the middle of season five. I'm looking forward. I'm still very interested in the show.
This is a little different from our usual hyperbole stuff, but it's kind of a big deal, so we thought we'd just talk about it quickly. Top Gear, which is the car show from the BBC, has fired host Jeremy Clarkson after he physically assaulted one of the crew. So for people who maybe don't watch, Top Gear is a kind of a comedy, like kind of a, it's supposedly a car review show, but really what they do is like crash things and joke about things and have celebrities drive around a track and et cetera. It's pretty amusing.
Is that the show where they like created ambulances out of like random cars just for fun?
Probably. Yeah. One time they had to like make boats out of cars and sail them across the English Channel. So they do stuff like that all the time. It's super weird. Yeah, it's like one of the biggest shows in the UK, and it has like 350 million viewers a week. So it's pretty huge. And Jeremy Clarkson is the main host on the show. And yeah, like he assaulted someone a couple weeks ago, and people weren't sure like what was going to happen. So the BBC has since announced that they are letting him go because he assaulted a producer. He's like a pretty kind of controversial guy. Anyway, he's been in trouble many, many times before. So a lot of people are not going to miss him, I think. And, you know, a lot of people who are big fans of the show are obviously worried about the future of the show, and they don't know if the other two hosts are going to stick around or anything. But, yeah, that's kind of everything that we know at the moment. And
do you
then
think
now
the show,
we're waiting to see.
Do you think it can survive without Jeremy Clarkson? Do you think they'll need to find a new personality?
Well, yeah, I think they need, I think the key thing about the show, and I have to say, like, I do enjoy Top Gear, but it's like one of those sort of guilty pleasures because Jeremy Clarkson seems like a sexist, racist, homophobic word that I can't say on this podcast. So I am not going to miss him. I am not going to miss him. But I think what makes the show work is that there are three like very strong personalities. I don't think it has to be his personality as such, but you definitely need, you can't have someone just coming in who happens to like cars. You know, that's kind of not the point of the show at this time. So
just get Ben Whishaw, right? You'll all be happy.
Right. I would definitely watch that. No, I think I'm sure they can find someone. The show is, I think the show is bigger than him, although some people seem concerned that it's not. He certainly doesn't seem to think that it is. So we'll wait and see how that goes. If the other two hosts decide to leave, then I think they'll be in trouble. But if they only have to replace Clarkson, I think they'll be okay. Yeah.
So in other surprising news, but here in the United States, we found out that the Walking Dead spinoff is going to be titled Fear the Walking Dead. And people are taken aback by this because obviously it is extremely similar to the original show, but it just has the word
and it's so long. God, don't I think about the news outlets.
Right. It's also just weird to say, like, when we're writing about it, the Walking Dead spinoff, Fear the Walking Dead.
It's kind of like Once Upon a Time in Wonderland when they did that. Oh. That was annoying,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a great example.
Thank you.
It's almost like they were trying for the SEO. Yeah. You know? Yeah. They were like, we must make this show SEO friendly, so yeah. let's put The Walking Dead in the title.
It would be so cool if they just titled it Fear. You know, like just fear, like one word.
Or Fear the Dead, or Fear the Undead.
Yeah.
Fear the Undead. That'd be cool.
All of these suggestions are better than what they chose.
Right. My theory is that they want to keep it very similar so that viewers instantly know, oh, this is The Walking Dead. AMC's really desperate for another hit. Their three hits are Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and The Walking Dead. And they already have a Breaking Bad spinoff, which is doing well. And
it's
now
not
they're
called
have a
Breaking
spin-off.
Bad Saul, you know? They're doing
right.
okay.
Breaking Saul. Saul Bad. Right. But that was also a recognizable phrase, Better Call Saul. That was actually a popular slogan in the show. So I don't know. They would do a Mad Men spinoff, but Matt Weiner said no. Yeah. The first teaser came out for Fear the Walking Dead during the Walking Dead season 5 finale earlier tonight. And we'll talk about the season 5 finale later in the show. But yeah, I don't know what to think of the title. It, you know, the season 1 is only 6 episodes, so we don't have to deal with it for too long. I don't know how long season 2 will be, though. Anyway, that's that.
Is it just me, or is it like just kind of sad that AMC is just working on spinoffs? Like, they haven't even like tried getting a new show.
No, they do. They've had tons of shows, but they're all not doing well. Like, they had the show Turn, hasn't worked out well. It's like some revolutionary drama thing. Yeah. Comic Book Men, Into the Badlands and Humans, Hell on Wheels, Halt and Catch Fire.
See, they all even trying. They sound terrible. They're bad at titling shows.
Yeah. Low Winter Sun, that did horrible. The Killing. I mean, I'm glad that they did a Breaking Bad spinoff, Better Call Saul. I really like it. And I'll probably like Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So, The X-Files is returning to Fox with 6 new episodes. I don't know why I said episodes, but and it's going to star the same 2 people who starred in the original series, as well as the show creator, Chris Carter, is going to come back and be the executive producer as well. So it's basically like the exact same show is coming back, which is rare. Like, when shows come back or they get renewed, I feel like a lot of the time after this long, like, it's a new show creator, it's a new something, like, something's different about it, but it looks like it's going to be the same show that it was back in its golden day. So that's going to be really interesting.
Speaking of recycling television ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like it's Fox is probably like, oh, we need something really great. Oh, okay. People love the X-Files. Let's bring that back.
Yeah.
They
did this first for 24. They had a new season of that, and they did the remake of Broadchurch called Grace Point, which really was not good. I was really hoping it was, but it
was
wasn't.
It really terrible?
It just didn't have that same punch that Broadchurch did. On the other hand, 24, people loved the new season of 24, so I think X-File fans should be excited.
I think so, too. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be amazing. My best friend is obsessed with X-Files, so he is super stoked, and he's been texting me about it every single day, and I'm like, okay, I get it. You're excited.
It's cool, though. I think I really like that it's returning. You know, it's obviously iconic for our generation, whether you were really into it or not. I had a lot of friends in school as well who were really into it. I was too afraid. I was such a chicken. Like, I watched one episode where there was a mother living in the floor and they were all like inbred, and I was so afraid, and I just watched Buffy. But no, I think this is cool, but I think Andrew brings up a good point. Is when is enough enough? You know, we've got remakes and reboots and sequels and prequels and spin-offs
Should we have known that this was coming? I mean, looking at the movie side of Hollywood, they've obviously been doing this for years, the reboots.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, it was only a matter of time until television caught on.
Yeah, comic books and remakes, basically, is everything these days.
But that said, I mean, people do get really excited for this, for on the movie side and the television side.
Yeah, it's like what I said, like people want what they already know. You know, people want to see familiar faces and familiar roles, and they want to like come into a story. It's kind of like me with Matt Smith. Like, I'm just like, yeah, a face I know.
I think like this generation that's coming up, and like the really bigger generation in the age bracket, like the 18 to, was it like 26? 49? Is it? I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
But I feel like this generation currently is very nostalgic. We're all very like, oh, guys, do you remember like this?
Good old
or
days.
That?
Yeah.
And so now Hollywood is taking after that. And they're like, oh, these kids miss this, this, and this. Well, let's bring this, this, and this, and make a ton of money, you know?
It's true.
Have we done an article yet looking at TV shows we actually want to come back? Have we done that yet?
No, I don't think so.
We should.
Definitely.
We should. I think John suggested that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, have we done that? It rings a bell, but...
And we should do one like shows we don't want to come back because we don't want them tainted.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. But this could be a whole hype special just talking about how everything's a remake these days. Mm-hmm. We should think about that. But so we've got just... Going to end the news segment now with some music news, which I hope isn't just Pam, you know, doing a speech.
I have opinions about both of these.
Okay, so cool.
I'm excited. Perfect. So we'll save the biggest story for last. So I just wanted to bring up that... excuse me. Sorry, guys. I'm a little sick.
Poor voice.
Britney Spears and Rihanna both announced that they would have new music coming out. Britney is just going to take Cinco de Mayo by storm, apparently, and she'll be releasing her first new single since Britney Jean. So Britney fans should be pretty excited about that. Rihanna already dropped her new single. She dropped it last Tuesday. It's called Bitch Better Have My Money, and which is like the song is probably just as good as you would imagine from the title. I just kind of like Rihanna kind of interests me as a musician, especially in terms of where she's going to go from here on out, because this single is a stark contrast to her 4 or 5 second single with Kanye West and Paul McCartney. So I'm just kind of interested to see where she goes from here. Like, you know what I mean? In terms of a cohesive album, because these are on completely opposite ends of the spectrum, and she's not usually known for doing very much of that. So do you guys, Kyle, you said you had some thoughts about this.
Oh yeah. I'm just, anything Britney Spears gets me really excited about. I'm super stoked. When I was in Vegas this weekend, I literally every day I'd be like, are we going to see Britney tonight? Are we going to see Britney tonight? And they'd be like, no. And they had us going to some like stupid nightclub, and I was just like really upset that we weren't seeing Britney. So I'm really excited that she's coming out with a new single, because every single that she's released, I've grown attached to. Some of them take me a little bit of time to do so, but she's really, really good with her music, or I should say her producers are really good at making her music. But the issue that bugs me is the fact that she's working with Iggy Azalea. You know, like, I just don't like that. I don't like Iggy at all. So I'm hoping it's more on the producing side and less on, like, the lyrical vocal side, you know?
The thing is, though, is that you'll only have, like, a 30-second verse probably featuring Iggy, most likely. Usually when rappers come on a song, it's, like, a verse and they drop it and then that's it. Like, peace out.
Yeah, she'll be like, so take it away, Iggy! And she'll be like, go, woo, woo, and then, yeah.
Take it away.
Wow. Yeah.
This is why I don't.
I need to do karaoke night with Selena, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, she could be like, take it away,
take
Iggy,
it away, Mara.
I mean, you're pretty much Iggy, right? You're both from Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how
you're all the same, right?
Interchangeable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if nobody else has any more comments about that, we'll move into the biggest music news story. Directioners mourned in unison on Wednesday when Zayn decided that he was no longer going to be part of the quintet One Direction. And I think some people saw this coming. The week before, he said he was going to take a break due to stress from their world tour. And everybody kind of figured that if he was going to come back, he'd come back for the South Africa date. And lo and behold, instead of coming back that date, that show ended up being the first that One Direction played as a four-piece. So the band released the news via statement on Facebook, and Zayn just kind of said that, well, the quote says that, my life with One Direction has been more than I could have ever imagined, but after 5 years, I feel like now is the right time for me to leave the band. I'd like to apologize to the fans if I've let anyone down, but I have to do what feels right in my heart. I'm leaving because I want to be a normal 22-year-old who is able to relax and have some private time out of the spotlight. I know I have four friends for life in Louis, Liam, Harry, and Niall, and I know they will continue to be the best band in the world. So was anybody shocked to hear this news? I mean,
we saw it coming, I think.
Yeah.
They had a really good, really, really good run, but eventually every boy band breaks up. So I think all of us who've been through NSYNC and Backstreet Boys know the feel of like when your favorite boy band breaks up. And so it's really disappointing. I really liked Zayn. I think that he's the hottest one of One Direction. So they're definitely less hot on the 1 to 10 scale now as a boy band. But it's going to be interesting because I wonder if he would ever do, or any of them, would any do like a solo career.
Hasn't that already been kind of announced?
Yes. So it's interesting that you say that, Kyle, because our good friends over at The Sun have alluded to the fact that he will be featured on Naughty Boy's upcoming record. For those of you who are maybe not familiar with Naughty Boy, he did that collaboration with Sam Smith, La La La, which was really big last summer. So you probably heard of him, even if the name doesn't sound super familiar. Other than that, everything else is pretty much just, I think they're just kind of alluding to the fact that he might be continuing on with Psycho Records and releasing
I don't think he should release his own stuff for a while out of respect to One Direction, because I mean, yeah. I thought this whole thing came down to like the fame of it. But I say good for him. He's got all the money in the world. Why does he need any more? Why does he need all this nonsense that goes on in the media and whatnot? But I also think he could have avoided this more if it came down to the fact that like the attention was too much and whatnot. Like, you know, you can at least block yourself out from the internet. That seems like an easy start. Now, maybe it was also just the fame side of things with like being attacked by fans wherever he went. Like, I guess that could...
Yeah, that happens to Andrew everywhere he goes. So he feels your pain.
True story.
You know what it's like. Unfortunately, I can't just like run off and
You should reach out and send him cupcakes.
I feel you.
That one guy that got bullied.
Yeah. I just learned which one Zayn was this week when this news happened.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Oh, really? I now know two of them. Unfortunately, only one of them is still in the band. There's Harry and the other three.
Liam. You know Liam, the name, right?
Which one is Liam?
I don't know.
No. One of them is called Liam. Look, so I was genuinely curious, like, was Zayn one of the ones who could sing or not? Because I am not a One Direction fan.
Okay, so I actually wanted to point this out because we already discussed his, you know, exceedingly good looks, but as like from a music perspective, like this could really take a toll on the band. I'm not saying the other four aren't talented in their own rights, but if you ever listen to any of One Direction's music, all those high notes are usually split between Liam and Zayn, so they've got really great range, and that's going to be something that the band is going to sorely miss. Like, as a huge kind of consumer of music and as a general fan of music, that is definitely something that kind of attracted me to some of the tracks in the first place when I was first giving One Direction a go. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see how they kind of deal with that. So they are going to release a fifth album that's set to come out sometime next year. So,
yeah, I was going to say exactly what you just said. In my research, because I'm a professional, I watched a live One Direction song. Turns out Zayn's the best singer, and then Harry yells a lot. And then the other three could have turned their microphones off and it would have sounded the same. So I think they might actually really miss Zayn, because he's like, I think, you know, if he wanted to do a solo career, like he genuinely has the talent to.
Is he like the Justin Timberlake to NSYNC?
I mean, no, that's an extreme.
Yeah.
Like, I think Harry's that one because he's the one people know. But Zayn plus a bit of auto-tune, like that could be a successful career.
Yeah, and it also goes to point out that, like, as far as writing goes, Liam and Louis do a lot of the collaborative writing on the records. Like, if you look at the liner notes in the albums, like, all of them will be featured every once in a while, but most of the time you'll see, like, their two names along with whatever writer they're working with. So, as far as, like general, like, voices that could really break out, as far as, like, a Justin Timberlake, I would say my money would be either on Liam or Zayn, regardless of how much fame Harry has as a person.
But, you know, I think this is, I mean, and in terms of their solo careers, I think it's a
very interesting discussion. But I think just in terms of the One Direction phenomenon, I just want to say I totally get that fans are really upset, because, I mean, my brother is a One Direction fan. He's like heartbroken about this. So for them, this has been a huge deal, you know, the five of them together, and that they're splitting up now must feel like the end of something really big.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's totally justifiable, like, legitimate reaction. Just not like, I mean, there have been some somewhat extreme reactions that we maybe, like, don't want to go into, but that's not okay, like, for anything. But, of course, it's okay to feel upset if your favorite band splits up. Like, guys, I remember back in the day when Blink-182 split up. That was a hard time for me.
I mean, and then they just split up again. Time. They split up again, so, you know.
Stamping on my heart.
The heartbreak keeps coming.
The double burn. But yeah, you're right. I mean, like, we've all kind of been through either, whether it's a TV show that's ended, a book series that's finished, or a band that's broken up. Like, all of us have kind of felt what the Directioners are feeling right now. So, in no way are we kind of belittling what any of you might be feeling. And, like, if you guys want to wallow, you go wallow, you know. Just do it safely. Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I think that's the whole point of that.
Okay, so let's move on now. We are done with the news. So much news this week. This was, I was going through the week just watching the big stories pile up and being like, no, the show's going to be so long. But I think we did okay. We've got our TV shows of the week, where every host has picked one show from the past week that has stood out to them in some way. And we're going to kick it off with Kyle.
Yes. So I wanted to talk about The Vampire Diaries, which is interesting because both Pam and Selena, wait, I think both of you have dropped The Vampire Diaries, right?
Yeah. Like, thanks, Kyle.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I will be catching up before the summer.
Okay.
No, I've tried. I've tried three times. I've given up. I'm over it. I'm done.
So it's interesting because they've introduced the brother's mother now, who they thought died in 1858, and she's returned, and she brings a new dynamic to the show in that it really kind of ups the stakes this year. And this year, the show has really returned to its roots in that it's not a ridiculously like supernatural or like doppelganger themed season, it's just about the core ensemble. You know, in the first season there was like a mystical spell that they had to break, and it had to do with like celestial events and stuff, and like celestial events had a big thing to do this season too. And so it's just really interesting to see Vampire Diaries kind of go back to its roots this season, especially since it was renewed for another seventh season. It's taking a good turn right now, I think. A lot of people might be really upset with how it's just going on and on and on, which, Selena, I think you might be one of those people.
Yeah.
But I really like it because it's kind of rubber banding back to what it used to be, which is nice. So that's cool. What I wanted to talk about.
That's great. And the Mindy Project had its season finale. I was really planning on talking about this, but I fell through too far behind. I haven't watched it yet. But Merrima has.
It's funny you should say that, because I am very far behind in the Mindy Project, but I just watched the season finale.
Yay, we can supplement.
I think together we might have it covered. The last episode I saw was the one where they need to play beer pong against Shonda Rhimes, which was hilarious.
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was really funny.
That was like the fifth episode of this season. So I'm about 20 episodes behind, but I really wanted to watch the season finale before I kind of got spoiled on it, and then I'll like go back and catch up. As may have become apparent, like, I'm not very good at keeping up with TV shows on like a consistent basis, so this is actually a fairly frequent occurrence in Marima's life.
I'm not gonna say anything.
Yes I know what you're gonna say, but it was a really good finale, I thought, and they're not confirmed for a fourth season, I don't think, and it left it on a big cliffhanger, so that's interesting. But it was so funny, guys. Like, the Mindy Project is one of the funniest comedies on TV right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really underrated, but it's so clever and it's so funny. Like, I laugh out loud, like, very hysterically several times every time I watch this show, and I am like a robot human, so that's saying a lot. Because I did not have, you know, emotional responses to things. But Mindy Kaling is so smart and so funny, and the show is so clever and so fun. So, yeah, it was fun to, like, watch the finale and remind myself, because I forget how much I like it. And then I watch it and go, man, I love this show. Why don't I watch it more? So I'm going to go back and catch up on season three. Now I have plenty of time to do that because there won't be any episodes for a really long time if we even get more, which I hope that we do.
I hope we do too. I haven't watched the last two episodes of the season, but I think it's been really good this year because obviously Mindy is hilarious, and I've always thought that Danny, sorry, I've totally blanked there, he's so funny, and the two of them have been hysterical. But since, you know, this season and everything that's happened with them, I feel like them together isn't so fun anymore. But then the side characters are really getting interesting. Like, I've always thought that Ed Helms is hilarious and he's underused, and they've had him do, you know, Jeremy, they've had him do some really funny things at the end of the season. And I was just, I hope that if they come back, they'll finally sort of have learned how to utilize their side characters properly.
I feel like the Mindy Project doesn't get enough cred for, like, navigating that, because they had two seasons of the will they, won't they thing that so many TV shows have, especially comedies. Mm-hmm. And then they've gone with their relationship, and it's actually, for the most part, it's worked. Like, I know what you're saying, but, like, they've navigated that really well. So I feel like they deserve a thumbs up for that. And not doing, like, the New Girl thing where they go, oh, they're together now, what do we do?
Quick, break them up again and pretend it never happened.
Yeah, at which point I was like, I'm not watching this show anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like they've done it really well. And you should definitely watch the finale because it's so funny. Oh, my God. I'm going to watch it again right now. Just see
you later, guys. Okay, right now. Okay, so we had this is another really interesting, the Late Late Show with James Corden finally premiered. I thought it was fantastic.
I wrote it up a bunch of clips. I haven't watched it.
I didn't, but Selena wrote up a bunch of clips. I really enjoyed it. I love James Corden. Like, I've been a fan of his for so long. And it'll be interesting to see if America embraces him. Like, I hope they do.
Yeah,
I mean, my favorite, though, we're talking about, like, just, like, little clips that, like, made it online and stuff like that. Like, everybody's on about this Mariah Carey sing-along in the car, which was great. But my favorite was probably the reenacting of every Tom Hanks movie ever that he did. That was the best.
Ever.
And just, like, the transitions between some of those iconic lines were just, like, so great. It just made me so happy. I watched it, like, three times. It's fabulous.
Yeah, that was really smart.
I like his I like his comedy. It's really interesting because if you've ever seen The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, you know how different they are as comedians, because Craig Ferguson is very, very raunchy, very, like, hysterical. He doesn't give a crap about anything. Like, he just talks and he ignores all of his cue cards and stuff. And so, like, it was really interesting seeing how James Corden brought it along. And I loved his conversation with Mila Kunis. And they were talking about how they're, like, having kids and stuff. And they find themselves thinking about their kids, like, during sex. And it was hysterical because, like, Tom Hanks was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I find it really hysterical. And so I've only seen his first episode, but I'm looking forward to catching up with the
rest. Know what I really love about the first couple of episodes of this, I'm obviously a big fan of James Corden as well, but I really love how the people on the show get to talk to each other. You know, like, it's very it's very Graham Norton, if you've ever seen his show.
Love Graham Norton.
Yeah, me too, because it's like, it's not just a talk show where the actors get to make a few comments and have fun with the host, even though I do like the host here. They get to talk to each other, and we get to see them in sort of interesting little constellations, you know?
Yeah,
and that, like, definitely differentiates it from other late night talk shows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's clever.
And one of the highlights was when they asked Tom Hanks what goes into deciding what films to do, because he's done so many amazing films. Right after that segment, that clip where they did all of his films, and it was really interesting because Mila Kunis was like, "Wait, no, like, I want to hear this too." And so, like, it's just interesting because the other guest, is just as invested in the conversation as the host is. You know, it's great.
Yeah, and that's where the best comedy comes from, I think. And where the spontaneity comes from. Because often when you watch a talk show, you're like, yeah, this is basically scripted. Like, everyone knows what's going on right now, you know? So I like that. I think it's great. I really hope he sticks around, because I would actually bother to watch, like, I never usually watch these things, but I would bother to watch this. And the final show of the week?
The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
So yeah, The Walking Dead season 5 finale just aired Sunday night on AMC. I think I'm the only one here that watched it.
Yeah.
I would have, but it's still airing right now in California. So oh, I'm yes. going to stream it after. Yeah.
It was really good. It was 90 minutes. It had a great ending. It closed up a lot of plot points over the past season, which was really good. There's actually barely any cliffhangers, but the ones that they did leave were just right, I think. So, yeah, it was a really good season. And before The Walking Dead returns, we're going to have Fear the Walking Dead in late summer.
Yay!
So it's AMC is setting up a situation where there's going to be zombies on television a good half of the year.
And who doesn't love zombies, right? You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the problem. We may get a little too many zombies, and they're all going to be tired of them. But yeah, the season was really good. I was really happy with it, and I'm looking forward to season 6, as well as the spinoff.
Awesome. Yeah, I might watch the spinoff. I haven't watched Walking Dead for a while, but I think the spinoff will sort of take us back to the start anyway, so might be a
yeah,
good re-entry
good time
point.
To start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our second-to-last segment today is How We Hype, which is basically just a chance for us to talk about what has occupied us in terms of fandom for the past week, or what we'll be doing next week if there's something really interesting coming up. And I can see from the list that a few of us have been playing games this week.
Yeah,
the
I
Mario
put in,
Party 10. Who is that?
I put in Mario Party 10. That's me. That's the new Wii U game. I was playing it just before we started recording. It's obviously the 10th installment in the Mario Party franchise. This is the first one for the Wii U, so this is the first time it has 1080p graphics, so it's a nice clear picture. I like that. But it's not the best Mario Party. They've changed up the system. It used to be in the good old days you would collect coins to buy a star, and it was extremely exciting. Have you guys ever played Mario Party?
No. Oh yeah, I love it. Mario Party 8 obviously. Is my jam.
Yeah, yeah, so they changed it with the last one, I believe. Now it's all about these mini stars, and whoever has the most mini stars at the end wins. And you know, Mario Party 10 is still a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing earlier tonight. But it's just not the same. I have a GameCube I recently dug out. I'm gonna go and buy Mario Party 6 because I understand that was one of the better ones. I used to probably play that one. I forget which, but. Yeah, so I do recommend if you have the Wii U trying out Mario Party 10. I'm not sure yet if it's worth the $50, 50 or 60, but it is a Mario Party for Wii U, so that makes it worth it.
Maybe Mario Party will be my game on the Wii U, because Mario Kart is obviously not my game. Like, I'm probably the worst player in the world.
No, Mario Kart is nobody's friend. You know? Really.
It's my friend.
Andrew plays it, like, every day. He's in training.
That's the only reason he whips it out at parties, right?
Sorry.
That's why he invites me over. Helps his
Mario Party is great for you, Marimo, because it's based on luck, not skill. So you
Perfect.
Would do great. Whereas Mario Kart, you need skill.
I will accept that compliment. That was not a compliment. Thank you very much.
What I'm saying is you have a chance with Mario Party.
Yeah, I think I have
because
a better chance.
Because everyone does.
Right. If I stick to my usual method of just throwing my opponent's controller across the room, I seem to do quite well. So
that's great.
You know, it's funny with all these. Like, usually in terms of games, I will play Zelda and that's it. Like, occasionally Pokemon, but otherwise just Zelda, and otherwise I just don't care. But actually,
that's me with Mario.
Yeah, like it's just nothing else I've tried and nothing else really seems to stick. But actually, for the past few weeks, I've been playing The Last of Us, which is a PlayStation 4 game, because my brother has a PlayStation 4, and it came out remastered, and I've just heard so many great things, and I just thought, you know what? I'm going to go out of my comfort zone, and my life is really boring right now, so this is, like, for me, This is a big deal. I'm going to play a real scary game because I'm such a chicken, as we established earlier. So I played The Last of Us, and it is so good. Like, I played on easy. I am terrified every time a zombie jumps out on me. I scream and I pause, and I'm, like, looking at a walkthrough, like, what am I supposed to do now? Because I'm so, like, yeah. But even what I'm trying to say is, even for me, who absolutely hates the scary stuff, this game is spectacular. Like, I finished it the other day, and I hardly never finish games because I get to a boss level and it's too scary and I stop playing. It's just, the story is fantastic. The gameplay, you don't get tired of it, but you sort of begin to understand the mechanics. So it's not unmanageable, if that makes sense. You know, sometimes a new monster will come up and you'll be challenged again and you'll have to navigate through. You know, you have to use stealth to sneak past enemies, and you'll have to conserve your ammo because there's not really a lot of ammo lying around. And I was just stuck with this feeling of, like, wow, I want to play it again, like, straight away, and that almost never happens. So really fantastic.
I'm reading the reviews here. They're really phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is an experience. You should. I mean, you really should. I think it's, and especially because, you know, speaking of The Walking Dead, there is sort of a similar vibe there in a way, I guess. Yeah. You know, mostly just because it's zombies, but also because of the, it feels so real, you know, it feels like you're really in the story. And I think my main problem now is that I've played this game that everyone's calling the best game of all time. So what am I going to play now? Like, Mario now I want to play more and nothing else. So yeah, maybe I'll go to Mario. But so yeah, so that's been fun. And I've had no social life because I've just been playing video games. I guess, Marima, you put in this next one.
Yeah, well, I'm not cool enough to own any game consoles, so I've been watching a mini-series, guys. It's really exciting. No, I think actually everyone should watch this. It's this mini-series called Pillars of the Earth, which is based on a book, but you don't need to read the book. And it's very Game of Thrones-y, but it's only 8 episodes, so it's for, like, the Game of Thrones fan who's really frustrated that the story still isn't finished. Like, this is the perfect show for you. And it's really fun because it has all these fandomy people in it. Like, it has Sam Claflin's in it, and Eddie Redmayne's in it, and Hayley Atwell's in it. Like, they're all lead people, and you'll watch it and be like, oh, I've seen a million of these people. What's his name? Donald Sutherland's in it from Mockingjay. And Alison Pill, who is in the newsrooms. Like, it's got this weird combination of cast, but it's really cool. And it's basically set in, like, the 12th century in England, where there's, like, this civil war happening. And so everyone's, like, trying to be the king and or queen, as it were. And meanwhile, like, they're trying to build this church, and that seems to be kind of this weird, like, crystallization point for, like, all of the battles seem to be over, like, who's going to build this church, because, like, various people want the money. And it sounds really terrible, but it's actually really good, and I watched the entire thing in one day. So maybe that says more about my life than about how good the show is. But I think the other thing it has going for it is, like, it has a really terrible CGI at times. So if you're into, like, the Merlin style, really awful graphics, fun. you will enjoy this, because you're just like, guys, why did you even bother? Like, just why did you put that shot in? But yeah, it's really fun. It came out, like, I think in 2010. And yeah, I think for the kind of Game of Thrones fans, or if you want to see Eddie Redmayne shirtless, then this is the show for you.
Yeah,
Hayley Atwell too. Like, it's equal opportunity. Yeah,
that sounds good. Awesome.
So I have a couple more games. I have two games because they're apps and they're very, like, very quick and small. And one because Trivia Crack has exploded, and I'm catching on to the train way, way late. Like, it exploded way long ago, earlier this year, maybe even, like, in December. But Trivia Crack is basically this game where you play your friends, in that you have, like, these 5 characters or these 6 characters you need to win. And in order to win, they're each a category. So it's, like, history, science, art, math, geography, and sports. And so you just have to answer trivia questions, and the more you get correct, the more characters you win, and you have to try to win characters first. I like it because in Vegas and on the road trip, it was really fun to just play with friends and kind of all, like, figure out, because they have a lot of questions that you don't know, and you kind of learn a lot while you're playing, which is fun. And the other app I have is called Mr. Jump. I just downloaded it last week because it was the editor's feature. and on iTunes, and it's really fun. It's like this little character that you just kind of like, the screen moves and the character moves with it, and you just have to jump across the landscape to get across. But it's really, really, really difficult. It's the land spaces are really far spread out, and you have to like long jump and short jump, and it's just, it's addicting. It sounds really generic, and it is really generic as a concept. It's very generic, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful vector-based game, and if you guys like beautiful games that just kind of waste time but are also really difficult, then you'd like it.
So this has basically been occupying your week?
Yeah. So, like, on the road trip, I've been playing Mr. Jump and Trivia Crack, like, the entire time to Vegas.
Well, I've been sick all week, so I haven't really been able to do very much or watch anything, which really sucks. Like, you think that when you get sick, you could just binge Netflix. Impossible for my specific case.
Then you must be really sick. That's so sad.
Yeah, it's just, like, the light. Like, this is, like, the first day I've been, like, back on the internet and, like, doing all this stuff, so it's been nice. But, let's see. Oh, well, WonderCon's coming up, so I'll probably end up going out to that for, you know, at least a day or two. It's a little less crowded than Comic-Con, so it'll be a little easier to manage the floor. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Is there anything you're excited to see there, especially?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll probably end up doing some iZombie stuff for Hypeable, so if you're into that show right now, I think we might have gotten some interviews lined up for that, so stay tuned, and I'll probably go and check out the Flash panel, too, because those are probably, like, the two shows that I'm most interested in that are going to be there, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. I'll report back next week.
Awesome. And people who are listening, you can make sure to check hypeable.com to see if anything fun comes of that. So wrapping up our show this week, we've got the Hot on Hypeable segment where Merima has prepared a selection of original articles that have been on Hypeable from the past week, which you can go and check out on the site after you finish listening to this podcast.
Absolutely. Let me tell you what we have going on. So we talked about Glee a little bit last week, and we are milking this for all it's worth. Just kidding. Lots of people are Glee fans. So we had some kind of goodbye Glee articles on the site this week. We had one about the 20 songs that Glee never covered but should have. There were some very strong opinions in that for a lot of people, I guess. Glee's covered like hundreds of songs at this point, but somehow they managed to skip a few that people still wanted to see. And then we also had Remembering Glee, a look back at the good and the bad, because not everyone was a fan of everything that happened on that show, surprisingly, because, you know, such a positive response to it.
It was so perfect.
And then, yeah, right. And we also have where to see your favorite Glee actors next. So you can check that out if you want to see them in another project or, you know, you're not sure what else they've got coming up. We have you covered. And then also this week, we had a lot of fairly controversial opinion articles going up on the site, which are things that we try to run pretty frequently. So you can always find these for like a variety of fandoms. This week, we had one about The Walking Dead. As Andrew was just talking about, we just had the season finale, and we had an article up about why Rick should die, and Rick's the main character in The Walking Dead. So needless to say, some people were not super pleased with that. Do you agree with that, Andrew? You think he should die?
I agree that he isn't critical to the show anymore. There are, like, he is a lead character, but he's not the lead character, in my opinion. Like, so it would definitely suck if he left, because he is a major character, but this show could go on without him.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people feel very strongly about him one way or the other, but it seems like there are a lot of fans who would be interested in seeing kind of what direction the show went if he was no longer in it. On the flip side of that, we had an article about Girls Season 5 and why the writer of the article thinks that Hannah, who's the leading Girls, should be the only person that's kept on for season 5. So in one case, we want to get rid of them, and Girls, we only want to keep, I think she said they should call it Girl and just like get rid of all the others, which I thought was very funny. So
I'm going to make an article called Why Lena Dunham Should Die.
Oh, no.
That's the crossover from the two.
Yeah, exactly.
When Hypeable gets shut down because of death threats, we'll know why.
Yeah. Exactly. And we also had that Game of Thrones article we mentioned earlier about to watch or not to watch, the Game of Thrones dilemma, and very cleverly written in the sort of five stages of grief. So if you need to like vent about your feelings about Game of Thrones, that's a safe place where you can go and do that. It's a safe space for all fans.
Absolutely.
And then also this week we had an interview with Mad Men's Jon Hamm and John Slattery and... Is Matthew the showrunner?
Yeah, Matthew Weiner.
Yes. No, my bad, guys. And that was because the final season's about to premiere. So we got a bit of a scoop on what we might be seeing and, you know, a bit of a reflection. Everyone likes the whole nostalgia thing. Always nostalgia.
And when Brittany interviewed these three... John Hamm said to her, I must say, Brittany Lovely is a very hypeable name.
Yeah.
John Hamm
even
said.
Mean.
Wow, that's our new tagline. Yeah.
Is it some shit that's whimsical?
Is that her like Twitter description? Because it should
it
be.
It should be, yeah.
It should be.
Like attributed to John Hamm. But yeah, and then so we also have, yeah, it's a great name, very hypeable. We also have all of our regular features that run every week. So we have Hypeable Honors that looks at the best performances from the week. We have Quote of the Week and Ships of the Week. They're both for TV shows, and they are run Friday through Sunday. So you can always see them and like share your favorites in the comments of those articles as well.
Awesome. So make sure that you check out hypeable.com from all of that. Not you, Mary, my listeners.
Thanks. And, I will definitely check that out.
Thanks. Great. We will see you next week for another episode of Hype, where we'll probably talk about the Mad Men season premiere, because that happens on April 5th, and some other stuff. Some other stuff. That's a great, great big wrap up there. So my name is Selena.
I'm Marima.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Pamela.
Wow. Great, guys. It was going so well.